Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls, your authentic ghost stories from your real lives, not your fake lives, your real ones. Calls from around the world today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you really want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Just go to ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month to sign up for that. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Become an EPP there. Get all the bonus material. We got a brand new EPP episode for you every single week. We pump those out for you. Of course, access to our huge archive, more than 260, 70 some of those. There's a lot. And advanced episodes of the show as we make them as well. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. How are you?
How's your life, Tony? Nice and relaxing?
I'm
watching TV all day.
Just doing nothing, you know, just I long for those days sometimes where it's like, what am I going to do? I just have nothing to do. I'm just so bored. Days when people would say, you must have too much time on your hand if you're doing this or that. I don't know the last time I've heard anyone say that to me. It's probably been, I don't know, I was five, maybe. I don't even know. But we went house hunting over the weekend and put our house on the market and sold. There got three offers within 24 hours. And so it's just been kind of like go, 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 go. And essentially by the time this, airs, we might have moved. I don't know. But by Halloween, we're going to be in a new place. So
see, here's what I love about Tony and Jen. When these two people make up their mind to do something, they don't mess around. It's like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because Tony and I were just talking about it. Like, I don't know when this airs, but I do know it was 2 weeks ago when you and I were talking and you're like, yeah, I think we're going to move. 2 weeks later. Damn.
Done.
I think when you left here, it was about the same way. It's like, you know, I think I'm going to move. Oh, yeah, I'm putting my notice in tomorrow. Oh, we've already got the house.
That's how it worked. But it's like it's not like I'm like a sudden decision maker. I premeditate these decisions for a long time before I actually execute them. But when I'm ready to do it, I'm ready to do it. And dinking around with it. It just goes. So
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
I am too. My mind is kind of fried because, I mean, after looking at all those houses over the weekend and trying to figure all that out, and then you try and recall what house was what and what was where and all that as you try and narrow it down. Just when you think you have the one you want to, you know, make an offer on, then, what about that one? You know, so, but again, that's all this information that came to me in the course of, you know, 8 hours.
That's pretty impressive for you guys to see that many houses.
It was like, a marathon.
That was impressive there.
I don't think I've ever done it like that many before in my life. But it was interesting. It was fun, and we're excited. I think we found a good new home. So
did the girls go with you?
Or they did.
We can move faster without him.
Well, it was part of the thought, but no, they did come along, and they got pretty excited when they were seeing some of the places and all that. So
good, because I mean they're going to live there too, and they're both old enough to have a say in it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. They have the crawl space. So, you know, me and Jim are mainly focusing on our living area. And we said, look, crawl space, you guys can fit down there. It's cozy. And so it should be good.
And as long as we have a place, we can go during tornadoes. We good.
Yeah, they're completely safe all the time from tornadoes. So they're
right?
Completely good.
Yeah, it's your crawl space. But when mom and dad see there's a tornado coming, it's theirs as well.
We'll just join you. Forget. Just let us in. the sad part is I think that exists out there in some cases, but there you go. So that's been my weekend. My mind is fried. We're going to do calls today because I think if I tried reading stories, it would be a stumbling mess today. Just my mind, like I said, I'm just kind of cooked. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And it's, I guess you could call it open lines, or you can call it whatever you want. Phone calls from beyond the grave. I don't care. Let's go to this one. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey guys. So you just played my story like a few days ago on your podcast, and I was super excited because I listen to you all the time, mainly when I'm cleaning my workout studio. My name's Rachel. I am from British Columbia, Canada, and I'm just so stoked that you did that. I did like a little happy dance that was quite funny, actually, in one of the studios while I was mopping. But so I thought I would add a little bit of an additional story to the last time. So the room that I'm living in right now until the end of the month, it was a build-on of the same house that I talked about in the last post that was built in about 1908. My dad renovated a lot to do with the house, but he added this on for my eldest sister, who was still living at home, because then they had too many babies and there wasn't enough room for everyone. So the room that I'm living in right now, I feel very comfortable in, but my brother was in at one point, and when he was up here, he experienced a lot of really fucky things that happened. He came home one day, and there were slices in the walls. It kind of looked like somebody had taken an X-Acto knife. I still have those, so I might post those to the Facebook group at some point. And he also had it looked like someone took a hole punch and punched it into the wall. And they're everywhere in this bedroom. It's crazy. Like I will take some pictures probably and post them to the page. But all of that happened, and I remember coming up at one point when I was still living in one of the other bedrooms in the house, and my brother had moved home and he was up here, and I walked up because my mom wanted me to just check if he had any extra dishes that we needed to take downstairs to get washed. And so I was about to come up the steps, and his hole, he had like a sarong kind of thing over his door. The whole thing blew up in the air. Not like dynamite, but just like it flew up in the air, and I went, nope, and ran back down towards the kitchen to my mom, and she laughed at me for being silly, but then he saw all of this stuff going on in his walls. Not great. And so my mother owns a business as well. She's had it since before I was born, and in the building that she has the business in, there is enough room for two businesses on either side, and then there's also two apartments up above. The apartments have been mainly uninhabited for like a very long time. My brother lived in one side for a while when my family owned the building, and then my sister lived in the other side. And the store itself, like, I wasn't around for this part of it, but apparently there was a little girl spirit that was tugging on shirts and pulling on like ponytails and things like that, and my brother kind of helped her. If you hadn't heard the last post that I put, my brother is a medium, so he can kind of work through all of these things. But yeah, so he helped the little girl move on so that she wouldn't be doing that anymore. And then there was a very scary feeling in the back room, and I told my mom when I was like 8 that I wouldn't go back there. And she asked me why, and I said, "Mom, I'm scared. There's a big man in a big black trench coat back there. I don't know what it is with ghosts and trench coats. I hear this all the time in ghost stories from you guys and everybody else, but it was a big, scary man in a big black trench coat with like oily hair in a ponytail. And he wasn't mean or anything, but he was always watching. And so my brother tried to help with him too. But my brother was also living in one of the apartments above the business. And he had a man in his closet that was very much volatile. And I wouldn't say that he was a demon or a shadow person, because that definitely happens too. But I think if you can like identify them and see their face, and you recognize it all the time, and they're not screwing with you, they're not doing like poltergeist things, they're not tossing stuff around the room, they're not physically trying to hurt you. But my brother would wake up in the middle of the night and this man was standing there in his closet looking at him like he wanted to hurt him. And so my brother, being my brother, he worked through that. And I mean, they saged and they did other things, but Brandon pretty much cast him out. He went, "Nope, you're not allowed to be here anymore. This is my space. I don't want any harm to come to either of the two of us." And I think he managed to get us out of there. But the funny thing is, with the city of Penticton, where we live, that they don't really like our building, because the building is very rickety and it's old and it's built on a riverbed. And so they've never wanted anybody habitating up there, and so nobody really has. So I don't know what's happened beyond then. All I know is that he tried to get rid of the spirit at the time, and thank God my brother has a stomach of steel, because I wouldn't be able to handle that. But he did for months, and he kept waking up with the man in his closet who looked like he wanted to kill him, and he would just walk out of his house happy every day. No big deal. There's this crazy person that keeps showing up that's kind of transparent in my closet. Anyways, this is a bit of a continuation because it's not my story. I don't know all of the details going forward, but I'm pretty sure that it's gone now, hopefully. And if it's not, then I hope that anybody else that rents that place is, I hope it's gone for them. Because for anybody like me, if I woke up with a man in my closet, nope, we're moving to another province. Done. Anyways, again, I do love your guys' podcast. Thank you so much for airing mine. It was crazy and awesome, and I was so happy. And I hope you all have a fantastic evening. Bye.
Providence. I should have thought about Canada. I didn't even consider that when not talking.
Well, there's a whole new idea for you.
There you go. Actually, there's no way I could convince Jen to go that far north, but I could probably.
That girl's about as sweet as could be. I just want to give her a hug.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so with her, though. I don't understand people like her brother who live in a place like that and are so able to deal with it. Like, I would be freaking out night after night after night. I would never sleep. There's a guy in my closet who seems to want to kill me. Like, how could you ever sleep or like come to some kind of term with that.
Just becomes normal. I don't know.
And I wonder if her brother, because all those stories seem connected to her brother, mm-hmm. or in a lot of ways. I wonder if he's somebody who kind of attracts that. Like, what's up with his bedroom and the slashes in the wall and stuff? Like, even if that wasn't a ghost, it could have been like a meth head or somebody broke in. That's just as scary.
You got to be more concerned about that. Yeah, I mean, I believe that folks who are sensitive to the other side are almost beacons for them as well, where if you can sense them as a human being, they can sense that you sense them, that they see that you are, you know, not one of them, but can sense them as well. So I think that naturally would also probably increase the odds of them having occurrences for you and your loved ones around you simply because of that ability.
Because see, I'm one of those people who are like, I don't want to know. I don't want to see you. If I'm in a place that's creeping me out, I'll talk out loud.
Sure.
Please leave me alone. I'm just here for a little bit, not really in your space much. Mm-hmm. And then other people seem to invite it in, or at least not put up the guard.
Mm-hmm.
I do think a lot of people invite it in, but Ouija boards. But I think some people not putting up a guard around them too. That kind of lets it in.
Yeah, I agree. I think some people unwittingly let it in without even knowing what they're doing. I think that's a lot of it. Although there are some that are fully aware as well.
But. I think someone posted, I think I saw it on the Facebook group page, mm-hmm. but it was like in Target or someplace. They were selling Ouija board t-shirts. I'm like, hell no. You wouldn't catch me even in a Ouija board t-shirt. And then as a woman, it just gives me that creepy feeling like people are going to come up and run their fingers over my boobs, you know, like, let's get our whatever that thing is out. And there's some creepy guy who would say something like that.
Yeah, you're pretty much guaranteed that if you're wearing something like that. I mean, not that it's right, but you're going to have those type of people out there that are.
Yeah, you might not open yourself up to demons, but creeps on the other hand.
Yeah.
That's... You go to a party, every guy in there is going to say, let's play Ouija board on your shirt, man.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of houses where a lot of parties where people have said that to me, and it's been kind of uncomfortable.
I'm so sorry, Tony. Hashtag me too.
Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi, you guys. Sorry, my phone cuts off, so I'm sorry if this is the second phone call of this. I've caught in a couple times, and I'm the type of person that always looks for a logical reason to why these things happen to me, and that's part of the reason why I call in, because I want to hear you guys discuss it and maybe come up with a logical reason why things happened or what might have happened that I'm missing, or maybe I'm just in denial and I need to accept what's going on with me. Anyhow, when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I was visiting my father in Florida, who at the time lived there, and I would go down there during the summers because my mother and father was divorced. This particular day, I'd been staying with a family friend. We're going to call her Charlotte, just because I don't know if we're allowed to use actual names. And Charlotte and her mother decided, let's go to a beach. And, of course, they lived in Florida, so they knew where all the private beaches were, the hidden ones where the tourists were not located, and you could essentially have a beach all to yourself, which was really nice. So, and then after that, Charlotte's mother said, after the beach, why don't we go look for a homecoming dress for you, Charlotte, and that kind of thing. So it was a beautiful sunny day. We were in Charlotte's mother's car, it wasn't a Cadillac, but this was a while ago. And it was a big, large car, that older car that, you know, the front seat was like a bench seat. It was massive. You could fit like 8 people in it if you wanted to. And when you rode in it, it felt like a boat. I mean, it was an older car. Okay. It was so long ago, we didn't even wear seatbelts, just to give you an idea. Okay. So I'm in the back seat of this car. Charlotte's mother's driving. Charlotte's obviously in the front seat. On the way there, you have to cross over this little tiny cement bridge that, get you over a swampy area, because Florida is very swampy in certain places. And it was a cement bridge. it was a smaller one. You just had to kind of overpass. Anyhow, on our way there, we saw this, at least I did, I saw this little boy on the side of the road playing in the sand, because the majority of Florida is sand. I thought that was odd. He was a blonde-haired little boy. He had a striped shirt on. He was bending over and just playing like kids do with sand. And I remember looking for a car pulled on the side of the road, or, you know, like if the parents were fishing, or, you know, if they were sitting at a beach somewhere, or just looking for another human being with this boy. And I didn't see one. I thought that was really odd. And that was on the way to the beach. So we went to the beach, had a great day, the three of us. Came back, you know, we're driving back, and we had to cross over the same bridge. Now, this was a back road. There was no other cars around. It was a still beautiful, sunny summer Florida day. And sure enough, and you had to go slower on this. I mean, we couldn't have been going more than like, Charlotte's mother couldn't have been driving more than like 20 miles per hour, because you had to go really slow. It was a two-lane bridge too, but it was a very windy road. So as we're, Charlotte's with her mom, and I'm talking to Charlotte, I'm looking at the road, and I see we're coming up to the bridge. Sure enough, suddenly I got a really eerie feeling, like very eerie in the pit of my stomach. I couldn't, you know, I didn't say anything to anybody, but I just got this weird, like something is not right. So again, I'm like, he's still here. I didn't say it out loud. I said it to myself, because I'm 15 going on 16. I don't want to be a dork and be like, oh, where's his parents? Or have them be like, why do you worry so much? That kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, when you're a teenager. Anyway, so now he's standing up, this little boy. Again, he has a blue and red striped shirt on. He has shorts on. No shoes, no socks, but that's not uncommon. He's standing on the side of the road by the bridge. Light. Blonde hair, tan, and he's just standing there. And all of a sudden, I thought in my, you know, Charlotte's talking to her mother, and I thought, this little boy's going to dart across this road. There's no other cars. I'm like, he's going to run in front of this car. He's going to run in front of the car. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking all of these things, and it's happening so quick. I'm like, should I say to Charlotte's mom? Because she's, is she really paying attention? Does she see this little boy? Because Charlotte was busy talking to her, and I said, and I'm saying in my head, like, should I tell, like, hey, watch out, this little boy looks like he's about to run. I just had this, and I was holding my breath almost, I remember. I just had this feeling he was just going to dart right in front of the damn car. And so, he's on the side of the, and he darts right in front of the damn car, and this is a big car. And I breathing and like that kind of thing. And Charlotte looked back at me, and my eyes were huge. And she said, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was like, we're going to hit. And all of a sudden, as soon as I said that, the car kept going. There was no thud. There was nothing. And I stopped. And Charlotte said to me, what's wrong? And I said, I thought we were going to hit that little boy. And I swear, she goes, what little boy? And I turned around immediately to look, because I didn't even answer at that point, because I'm still going, oh, my God, did we run over this little boy? And this car's so heavy, we didn't even feel it. I look over. He's standing on the opposite side of the road, next on the other side of the bridge, looking at the car and just smiling. And he had the bluest eyes ever. And I look at Charlotte. And I said, that little boy. And I pointed with my hand. I was like, that little boy. And she goes, where? Now, we're still driving. We hadn't stopped at all. And sorry, it makes me so excited. And I go, you didn't see him? You don't see him right there? And then I guess because she questioned me, and the look she had on her face, like she didn't see anything, I guess it just kind of scared me even more. And her mom, I remember I was looking at her mom, and because her mom's looking in the rearview mirror, and in the back seat, when you're sitting in the back seat, I could see her mom's face and her expression, you know, of her eyes. And her mom was like, no, there's nobody back there. We're fine. And I'm still looking at this boy as they're saying nobody's there. So we never went back to that beach, not because of that happening. I mean, I felt like a... At the moment, I felt like an idiot. I'm, you know, 15, 16 years old. and I brushed off that I'm just seeing stuff. But to this day, now I finished off my vacation. We, like I said, we didn't go back to that bridge. We, you know, if I had to, I wouldn't even know where that beach was. I would have to get in contact with Charlotte Nasker. Sometimes I wish I could go on vacation and just go over that and see, like, if I was crazy or what was going on. I still, to this day, have no explanation for what I saw. I mean, that was as real can get. And that fear that we hit that little boy is still with me to that day. When I just knew we were going to hit him, and then to look back and see him standing on the opposite side of the bridge and just smiling at us. Well, me, they didn't see him, and he was just standing there, and it was the creepiest, most unsettling feeling that I have ever had. And that's what part of me is like, I know he was there, because there's no way that feeling I had, those moments I had, was not real. That was real. So to this day, I have no explanation, none. It was just something very, very creepy, very creepy. So I don't know. I of course, you know, back then we didn't have internet and stuff, so it's not like I could go home or search it on my phone, like if there was an accident there. And again, like I said, I don't even exactly remember how to get there if I ever went back there. So if you have any logical reasons on why it happened, please let me know. But to this day, which is many, 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 many years later, I still don't have one. It still freaks me out to the core of my soul, though. Okay, well, I'll call in some other times, because I have some other things that happened to me. Sorry if I wasted your time, and sorry if it was a little long, but I love your show. Talk to you later. Bye.
You did not waste our time. Of course, we all know how mountain fog sometimes takes the shape of little boys laughing on the side of roads after you drive through it. That happens all the time. Sometimes it happens just in regular fog as well, but typically mountain fog does that. Carol, what's your logical reason?
Well, Florida beaches all the time, little kids. Mm-hmm. But you know what she said that really, like, I totally got was that at this point in my life, as a full-grown adult, like, if I see a child anywhere and I have turned around and gone back and looked for the kids' people several times, if I saw that, I would immediately be like, there's a child right there. But when you're a teenager, you don't want to be like that kid. It's like, I'm not going to say anything. That's kind of weird. So I kind of got it on the way there. And then on the way back, the same spot for her to see that kid again. And then for her to see the kid dart in front of the car, but neither one of the other people saw it. Yeah. I have no logic. Explanation.
Come on. Something logical for the ghost boy?
Right? Like, what's... So the logical explanation would be there was a little boy playing outside by himself all day, ran in front of the car, and she was the only one who saw him.
And he survived the impact and thought it was funny. Yeah.
And there was no impact because he somehow, like did a Mission Impossible move and went underneath the car. And that could have been. It was a ghost child.
That's the thing. I think we're dealing with it's a ghost child. I wish I could on that one throw something out there like, oh, it might have been this, it might have been that. I have nothing. I have nothing that I could say. This might be what you saw.
Especially since like the mom's driving, and I assumed her friend was in the front seat.
Yeah,
and she was in the back. One of them would have seen the kid. At least one of them would have seen the kid.
You'd think.
Ideally, the mom, you know, I guess they could have both been looking at each other and not paying attention to the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that could have happened, but I don't know. But then she's like that boy right there, and she's seeing him and her friend still not. Mm-hmm. Ghost boy.
That's what you got. It was a ghost boy.
That adorable little ghost boy.
And that makes it all
the
better.
We need the first caller's brother to go to Florida, find that bridge, and make sure that kid is on his way to whatever's next.
all questions would be answered then.
Right.
It'd be good. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. Let's go to the call. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Anna from Phoenix. I've called before on other stories. I haven't heard them yet, so I hope I hear them soon. I also recently became an APP, so I'm excited about that. Today's story is not about myself. It's actually an experience that my mom had, and then in correlation with that, she had a friend that had a similar experience around the same area. So I was born and raised in a city called Yuma. It's here in the state of Arizona. It's actually in the very corner of Arizona. If you look at a map, it's at the bottom left corner, and it borders Mexico and California. So it's a very agricultural town. So you have parts of the city that are very populated, and then you have other parts of the city that all you see is fields upon fields of lettuce, you know, and all kinds of produce. You know, it's a very agricultural town. So you have a lot of rural areas where you're driving at night and it's very, very dark. You might be driving by fields, or you might be driving by groves of orange trees or lemon trees and stuff like that. So my mom used to work at this field of date palm trees, and you know, you're working in the summer in the sun all day, and sometimes it goes, you know, gets dark at night and you're driving home. So my mom and a friend of hers were driving at night, and they were driving home, and you don't see anything. There's no street lights or anything except what your headlights, you know, you see. So she says as they were driving, they see this figure, this white figure, start crossing the road. And so my mom presses on the brakes, you know, to try to avoid hitting whatever's crossing the street. And they literally saw the figure go through the car. My mom knew that she was going to hit whatever was crossing the road. It was too late for her, even though she pressed on the brakes, and the figure went right through the car in between her and her friend who was sitting in the passenger seat. So my mom comes to a complete stop. They both look at each other. My mom was too scared to look back, but they both get off the car and there's nothing there. There's also no impact or anything. But somehow, whatever was crossing the street went through the car, and somehow, you know, nothing. I don't know. It was weird. So sometime after that, my mom again was working, and they're up in the palm trees, you know, picking out their dates and stuff. And every certain amount of time, they get their breaks. So when they get lowered from the forklifts, you know, back to the ground so they can catch their break, my mom notices that there's a big commotion going on a few palm trees down to her, from her. And there's this lady who's like in a panic and wanting her for someone to help a boy. So apparently when the woman was up in the forklift, you know, working in the palm tree, she looked down and she saw a little boy wearing overalls, barefoot, and this is sand, this is dirt, this is desert. So at that time of the day, it's really, really hot. It's Arizona weather, so it's super hot, like 100 and something degrees. And apparently she saw a little boy with a red shirt and overalls running barefoot, you know, in and out of the palm trees. And you know, apparently this wasn't the first time someone had seen this boy. Apparently some other workers had said that they've seen the boy, or others have said that they've seen a woman. And so some people were trying to blow it off as, oh, like you're getting overheated. You know, it's during the summer, the heat's probably getting to you. But my mom just thought it was a lot of coincidence that, you know, some time ago, her and her friend were driving and they saw a figure that seemed to be, you know, looked like a woman in white go through their car around the same area. And then now someone in the bright daylight apparently said that they saw a boy running in and out of the palm trees, you know, so I have a lot of other stories. Like I said, I've called before, particularly the story about my cousin who has schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, and a lot of paranormal things happened around the time that she was getting diagnosed. I did call initially telling her story. I will probably call back a little bit more details as far as like what other paranormal events happened during her episodes. And just, you know, where we draw the line as far as where does paranormal become something that has to do with mental illness, or when something's mental illness, when do you cross the line? Where do you draw the line about it being actually paranormal? So, but today's story is just a little bit, you know, different, not too serious as far as the topic goes, but, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the story. I hope I can, hear some of my stories in the future episodes. I have written some stories and I have called a few times, but I really enjoy listening to your stories. It makes my work day go by so much faster, when I'm alone at the office. Maybe it shouldn't be the things I should be listening to when I'm alone in the office, but it does make my day go by so much faster. So thank you guys for, doing this, and keep up the good work. And I can't wait to listen to more of your episodes. Bye.
We're playing a better variety of today's hit ghost stories for your work day here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
She's got a really, I do want to hear, before I talk about what she actually was talking about, but that whole idea of paranormal and mental illness, that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
Because someone who's schizophrenic can believe they're seeing something 100%, mm-hmm. and it's 100% not there.
Sure.
So that would be really interesting. But back to her real story that she just shared. Number one, that would be an incredibly tough job that her mother had. Mm-hmm. I could not imagine that job. But the whole deal with her and her friend, seeing something on the road is one thing. But then seeing it go through your car, that gave me the chills.
It's funny, we had two ghosts being hit by cars on today's show.
Right.
And they're both ghost little boys. I'm like,
Yeah. Now the other one, like that could, because you are working in the heat, and sometimes when you do get overheated.
Yeah.
Hallucinating. Because dogs do really weird things. So maybe she saw the little boy, maybe she didn't, but if other people had seen it too, that kind of makes you think it's a real thing. Well, a real thing that's not there.
Yeah.
But that just creeped me out. Like slamming on your brakes when you both see something and it goes right through your car.
How many accidents have been caused by...
I'm gonna trade the damn car in.
Yeah. By ghosts, where someone swerves or slams on the brakes or does this or that, and then it's actually, you know, and then they actually use that as the story too. Like when the police come, you have to file the report if you got into an accident of what happened. I really would be curious how many times an officer has heard the story. I swear to God, there was a little kid in front of me or something, and yeah. It's like there wasn't. And that, you know, you don't share that because you realize there was no kid there by the time you slammed on the brakes. So you're not going to say that out loud to other people. But how often is that the case where that happens and it's either not reported that way or reported and you just, you know, but you still have no evidence to substantiate
it. People dismiss it like you're really tired.
Yeah.
And you just saw something or you're schizophrenic.
Yeah.
But yeah, That whole story, like I was feeling for her mom because I'm like, that would be a really tough job to do. And then to have to work that hard and come home at night and a damn ghost goes through your car. It's like, come on, give the poor woman a break.
I completely agree. And the excuse.
But I do want to hear more stories. I like that idea. Or I want to hear more about schizophrenia and paranormal combination.
Yeah. And it's an interesting topic, and I would like to hear more about it too, because it's one of those things where yes, there's of course there are mental illnesses out there where it is strictly that, but we've also heard many stories from people who have suffered from mental illnesses that believe and probably fairly legitimately too that that some of these things almost get attracted to them because of what they're suffering with.
you know, for whatever reason it may be, because others will surely not believe you. You know, if you say, well, I'm suffering from this, well, then you're going to immediately be written off for having that and nothing else is going on. But I think there are many cases, and I'm not saying all mental illnesses or even, you know, a large percentage by any means, you know, are ghostly. But I do think that there are some cases where there are things that happen that are not part of the illness, that are there that, you know, torment, you know, some of these folks.
Yeah. But I know people who have schizophrenia and they are 100% convinced that this crazy thing is happening, and it's absolutely not.
No.
Or is it? You know, it's like maybe you really did see that thing that sounds absolutely absurd to me.
Sure. And well, and it goes, I think then when that sort of thing is happening, obviously in our physical reality, if no one else is experiencing it, it's, you know, you could go one of two ways. Are they seeing something others are not because it truly is there? Are they tapping into something else? Or, you know, it's more than likely it's the illness that is, you know, that, but to them, it's just as real as anything else. So they're operating.
Oh my God, if you had both.
Yeah.
And no one would ever believe you.
And that's the torment that I think there's many folks fall into with that. So, yeah, that I would love to hear more of that from that caller. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that, I think, is going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the advanced episodes, commercial free, and EPP bonus episodes. They're all there, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.